Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
On the line with us is Dr. Eric Feigelding, the epidemiologist and senior fellow at the Federation for American Scientists, the first whistleblower on the COVID pandemic, formerly a faculty member and researcher at the Harvard Medical School and Harvard's T.H. Chang School of Public Health. His Twitter handle, which I strongly encourage you to follow, one of the best sources of information on the COVID pandemic and most current, is Dr. Eric Ding, D-R-E-R-I-C-D-I-N-G, on Twitter. Starts with an ad at the very beginning. Dr. Feigelding, welcome back to the program. We're hearing that Omicron is 70 times faster in spreading and evades the vaccine, or is certainly capable of that. What does this mean? Just how dangerous is Omicron?
The 70 times is actually 70 times faster replicating in your trachea, in your windpipe.
Uh-huh.
And so it's not just transmits 70 times. That would be apocalyptical. But Omicron is probably about 4 to 6 times faster than the original strain and probably 3 to 4 times faster than Delta. That is an incredibly, incredibly large transmission advantage, considering Delta is already twice as transmissible as the original variant. And it's so fast that I think it will likely be dominant in the United States by Christmas, literally next week. I think we're not that far in which it's been exponentially increasing from 1% to 10% to upper teens now in the U.S. Already within just 2 weeks. And that is way faster than anything we've seen before. And regardless of what you think about mild or not mild, and I don't think it's necessarily milder, the issue is that once exponential cases blow up and you have a million cases in the near future, that will actually over swamp all the hospitals, which are already at capacity.
You're predicting basically a hospital crisis across the United States within the next 6 or 8 weeks at the most.
There's no doubt about it. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. There's hospitals in Michigan and Pennsylvania, many states that are completely, completely full. They have no more beds. They're diverting patients already. And that's just Delta. That's not even Omicron. The Omicron hasn't even, like, truly escalated across the U.S. yet. It has started in U.K. Oh, it hit 50% in London within just a few days. But we haven't even seen the worst of this.
Yeah,
and I can't emphasize, you know, as Christmas gatherings happening, a lot of letting down the guards and not enough people getting boosters. We're still under 20% of the population that is boosted in the United States. We're in deep, deep trouble. And I think people are just way too complacent and blasé about all this.
I was reading a piece yesterday that said, and I was waiting for you to come on so I could ask you to confirm this or knock it down, that the booster shot, according to the new science here, it's not like, you get the first shot and you have immunity and then it kind of wanes, you get the second shot, it boosts back up to where it was, and then it wanes, you get the third shot, it boosts back up to where it was. That's not what's going on, that actually that booster shot, that third shot, broadens the entire spectrum of immunity throughout your body. It builds new kinds of immunity that you didn't have previously. Do I have that right?
In a way, I think the booster shot is much more powerful than the first shots combined, because right. The booster shot is literally triples the antibody levels that you have of even a fresh 2-dose. It's about 6 to 8 times the antibodies than a waned 6-month waned 2-dose. So a booster shot is by far the most important shot. Of your protection goes from 700 antibodies to over 2,000, close to 2,500 antibody levels. This is why the booster is really, really key. But even with boosters, the efficacy does go up to symptomatic infection protection goes up to about 70 to 75, but again, we're not in the 90s anymore in right. terms of the protection that we had against original strain last year.
Right. So would it be?
And people have to be really cognizant of that.
So would it be accurate to characterize it this way, just to put it in very simple terms, if you're vaccinated, you're still at risk from this. In fact, you're still at risk of getting sick or even dying. If you're booster vaccinated, that risk is substantially diminished, but you're still at a very high risk, a measurable risk, of getting infected. You probably won't die from it, you probably won't end up in the hospital, but you'll be able to pass it along to everybody around you who could be. And therefore, what is right now a crisis in our hospitals right across America, where about 90% or over 90% of all the people in the ICU and all the people dying are unvaccinated, that we're going to see, because unvaccinated people feel like they can safely hang out with vaccinated people because, hey, these people are vaccinated. That's no longer going to be the case. Vaccinated people, while right. they're not going to get sick or die, they will be able to pass that virus along to unvaccinated people. And so these unvaccinated idiots among us, and in some counties it's like over half of everybody, they are going to just, it's going to be I almost used a word I can't use on the air, shall we say a storm, hitting our hospitals here when this happens, yeah. if they remain unvaccinated. Is that an accurate description?
Yeah, I think so. And first of all, especially the unvaccinated people tend to hang out with other unvaccinated people as well, more likely. But the holidays, they bring everyone together.
Right.
And there's going to be a lot of cross-infections, breakthrough infections, in transmission across these, traditional boundaries of people who are vaccinated, unvaccinated, and there's not enough testing in the U.S. And so vaccines protect you against transmission the lower, but with 2 doses that's waned, it's not nearly enough. Pfizer, within literally 3 months, 2-3 months, the efficacy with just 2 shots drops down to just low to mid-30s. 34%
of what it was, yeah,
which is 2 shots.
Yeah.
So with third shot, you're protected, but again, that protection is only in the 70s. It's not nearly what we think it is before. So instead of 100 people, now it's 30 people are getting it, as opposed to previously when you had 95%, just 5 people. That's a huge, huge difference of a shift.
Yeah, I get it. I think a lot of Americans are familiar with how insanely contagious measles is. I mean, we've got something like a 97-98% vaccination rate for measles across the United States, and still small numbers of people refusing to get vaccinated, these little religious cults or whatever, keep popping up local measles epidemics. We saw a lot of this 2-3 years ago in California, actually. Compare that, because I think that's the most contagious, virus that's respiratory that affects humans right now, or at least serious one. Compare that with Omicron.
Yeah, measles had like an R naught around 12 to 15, But
so for every person who's infected, they infect 12 to 15 other people.
Yeah, so each person infects 12 to 15 additional people, which is really, really fast. Even two is really fast. But with Omicron, we think that it's about, the original variant was about 3 or 4, and Delta was about 6 to 8. But if this is truly, truly about 4 times faster than Delta and 5 times faster than the original, then you're literally getting into the 20s, 30s in terms of R-naught, theoretically, if there was no mitigation. R-naught is what happens.
So it might be more infectious than measles.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's turn this into practical advice for people who work in a relatively small workplace where they're being careful. I'm speaking specifically of us. In this studio right now, Louise and Nate and I are all sitting in the same room. Joyce is sitting in the other room answering phones. We all live in our own little bubbles. We're being very, very careful. We test every Monday morning right here in the studio using the rapid tests. And when any of us encounter somebody we're not sure of, we all test the next day. We've gotten pretty anal about this. Should we be preparing to go back to doing the show remotely where we're all working from home because this thing is coming?
Yeah, that's a very tough question. I would say, first of all, there's other things you can do. I think testing is really important, but I think testing once a week may not be enough. There's cases of people testing negative at breakfast, negative at lunch, positive at dinner.
Right.
And it's just that fast.
Right.
I think you should test on a more regular basis, even potentially daily. I think you should install HEPA filters.
We've got one.
If you haven't done so.
Yeah, we've got one with a UV light that kills viruses, and it's blowing
right, UV,
all the air in the room.
The upper room UV is also really good in any conference room that has more air than one HEPA filter can handle. But I think all of these together and ventilation together are really, really critical.
So what about...
But unfortunately, many schools and workplaces don't have that. If they don't have that, that's a workplace danger in many ways.
Yeah.
And I really worry for a lot of teachers and a lot of other schools and other workplaces that just cannot do that because they are truly in danger. And, I don't want to, at this point, I'm not advocating for lockdowns because there's so much more we can do short of lockdowns.
Right.
But unfortunately, if you don't do them, there's only one alternative short of a big epidemic wave.
Right. So what about, grandparents or even parents whose children are going to daycare or going to school? If this thing is even more virulent, more contagious than measles, it seems like a virtual certainty at some point in the next 2 to 4 weeks that kid, maybe not even showing any symptoms, is going to come home with Omicron and infect mom and dad or particularly, grandparents who are over 70, where even the booster doesn't give them, the full immunity that it would to somebody who's in their 40s, for example. Is it time for grandparents to say to their grandchildren or to their, their kids about their grandchildren, I'm going to take a pause here for a month or so and we're not going to hang out with the grandkids?
Yeah, I think that's something we have to consider. I think it depends on the risk of each individual workplace and each individual family of how vulnerable your grandparents are. But if your grandparents are very vulnerable, then we should definitely consider that. And I think we should also test, not just the morning of, not just the week beginning of the week, but immediately before any gathering. Like, almost like, hey, someone's knocking on your door, have them test in a side room or in the garage before they enter. I think that's the best way. And
even the little kids?
Outdoor gatherings could be even better.
Even the grandchildren? Or especially the grandchildren?
Just everyone. Just don't gather inside if you have high risk factor individuals.
Right.
I think that's what we have to do. And grandparents should live in a sequestered room with HEPA filters. Away from everyone else, especially until at least a week after school has been out, so that there's no carryover from the school.
So, wow. And so just to clarify, in your opinion, Dr. Eric Feigelding, the only thing that will get us back to anything that resembles normal is when we get vaccine levels with boosters. Booster, you know, in other words, thinking of this, of these shots as a three-shot regimen now instead of a two-shot regimen.
Exactly.
When everybody has their three shots, then we can say, okay, we're where we are with measles, where, you know, we've got this largely under control. There will be local outbreaks. But it's going to take over 95% of all Americans to be boosted.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but we have to get up, our boosters has to get into the 70-80% to really be good. And the sad thing is, I don't think we're going to get there because we're not even there for two doses. With two doses, right, we're barely scraping upper 60s and low 70s. You know, hopefully with kids we can get more. But for boosters, I'm not sure, given that we're not even that many people are eligible yet.
Dr. Eric Feigelding, the first whistleblower on the COVID pandemic. You can follow him on Twitter, which is where I follow him, and it's just, he's just brilliant. You need to read him every day. Dr. Eric Ding, D-R-E-R-I-C-D-I-N-G is his Twitter handle. Dr. Feigelding, thanks so much for dropping by. Great talking with you.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
One of my favorite writers is Lynn Paramore. Has just been doing brilliant writing for years. And at Lynn, LynnParramore on Twitter. And she's got this new piece that was published over at the Institute for New Economic Thinking's website, titled "Warning: COVID-Fueled Mental Health Crisis Will Be a Costly Second Pandemic." And I think this is a story that really deserves all of us paying some serious attention to it. So on the line with us is the aforementioned Lynn Paramore. Lynn, welcome back to the program. It's been a long time since you've been on. I'm glad to have you back.
I'm so glad to be here with you.
Thank you. Thank you. You write, COVID has now blown the lid off a crisis building for decades. And then you ask the question, so why isn't there a plan to deal with it? What is that crisis that has been building for decades, and why don't you think there is a plan?
Yes. Well, we have had a lot of cases rising of anxiety, mental health disorders. That was building for a long time. But the pandemic has sort of shined a light on just how bad it was and has gotten. I mean, just to throw some startling numbers out at you, The Lancet has reported...
This is the British Medical Journal.
That's right. The British, the very highly regarded British Medical Journal, reports that we have 53 million new cases of major depressive disorder and 76 million new cases of anxiety disorders.
In the United States?
That is globally. Okay. Since the pandemic has begun, we have better monitoring systems now. The pandemic has actually allowed us to collect data more effectively and efficiently than we have before. And in the United States, a data system that the National Center for Health Statistics put out with the Census Bureau found that about half of adults between 18 and 44 were having symptoms of anxiety and depression during the pandemic. And 38% of adults living with children were experiencing those symptoms. And that's particularly concerning because in families, there's sort of a feedback loop. If the parents are depressed and anxious, the children are more likely to be, and vice versa. You know, they sort of transmit these symptoms to each other. And we're definitely finding that younger adults have been particularly vulnerable during the pandemic, as you would expect, racial and ethnic minorities, essential workers, and unpaid caregivers. That is a category that is, you know, particularly impacts women who've been hard hit with mental distress and increased substance abuse during the pandemic. And when I say there's no plan to deal with it, there's no plan to deal with it yet. There are some provisions in Build Back Better that would help, that would alleviate some of the burden of childcare and give people paid leave, which is desperately needed. The United States is so out of sync with much of the world on that issue. But, you know, while we're having all of this increased symptomatology, there are many places in the United States, Texas, for example, where the stress, particularly on women, is just being compounded. Women in Texas right now are being tortured. There's really no other adequate way to describe having your body commandeered in the way that women's bodies have been dealt with in Texas. It's torture physically.
You're talking about their ban on abortion.
Absolutely. Yeah. It women who are already struggling to take care of young children at home, to juggle work and family, are now put in this position where they may be forced to bear children against their will, which not only impacts them, it impacts the children that already may exist in the family. There are many, many studies. We know that having children that are unplanned, it contributes to poverty, not just for the family, but for entire communities. I mean, it's a kind of stress that spreads. So not only do we not really have a national plan to deal with mental stress, in many places, we're making it worse.
Yeah. You also note in your article, this absolutely brilliant article, the COVID-fueled mental health crisis will be caused a second pandemic, that the coronavirus itself is neurotoxic. Explain that.
That's right. It is a virus that impacts the brain, and it's not uncommon among viruses. We knew that with the Spanish flu, there was an uptick in psychiatric cases and symptoms, and sometimes symptoms that lasted for years after the initial infection. It's similar to long COVID. So the coronavirus itself can attack the brain. We already are familiar with the symptoms of losing the sense of taste and smell. Well, that's a neurological reaction to the virus. We're also seeing psychotic symptoms. I mean, there have been psychotic symptoms reported in young people, mental health symptoms in people who never had any mental health issues. Depression, chronic fatigue, inability to think clearly. People call that brain fog. So, yes, this is a neurotoxin, and it is especially distressing for people who have those long COVID symptoms. I mean, in some cases, people have not yet recovered from the initial infection that they may have had 2 years ago. So this is all very concerning and is adding fuel to this mental health crisis.
Right, and that could be as many as a third of people who have symptomatic COVID or severely symptomatic COVID, which is shocking.
That's right, and I think that's one reason to be cautious about Omicron. You know, we think, oh, well, maybe it doesn't cause symptoms that are as severe, but we have to remember we don't yet know about long COVID symptoms with this variant, and they very well may be a big problem, just like they've been with the other variants. So yeah, that's something
absolutely
to keep in mind.
And then finally, you note, or maybe not finally, but you note that the social toxins are spreading. I don't think that, you know, we generally think of things like Trump's lies or Fox News's spin as a social toxin. You know, we might think of it as evil, but not as as if it was a disease or a poison. But you know, you can measure the epidemiology of it, just like you could measure the epidemiology of somebody injecting lead or arsenic into the water supply of a city.
That's exactly right. And things like distrust, economic insecurity, a feeling of exploitation, inequality, economic inequality, social inequality, all of these are social toxins that impact mental health and by the same token make us more vulnerable to physical disease. One thing that I really wish we could come to in this country is an understanding that mental health is health. There's no separation between mental health and the rest of the body. If we have mental health symptoms, we're more prone to get heart disease. We're more prone to get cancer. So we need to think holistically about our health and stop this kind of mind-body separation that's, you know, kind of a hangover from the Enlightenment.
Yeah, well, it's also built into our insurance policies. It's built into our laws with regard to things like Medicare and Medicaid and all that sort of thing. You note in the U.S., 10% of insured people make up 70% of the total spending on health care. Of that high-cost group, more than half are seeking treatment for behavioral health. Mental health spending is rising twice as fast as overall medical spending. And that's not just because of the pandemic.
That's right. This is a really sobering thing that came out of the research that I did for this article. Mental health and behavioral health conditions are extremely expensive in terms of health care spending. $201 billion is a figure that came out from the National Health Expenditure Accounts in 2016. That was before the pandemic. And just to give you a comparison, that's much more than heart disease. That's much more than cancer. In fact, you could take several of the major, you know, quote unquote, physical diseases, put them together, and you wouldn't have, you wouldn't get to the spending for mental and behavioral health issues. So, and again, as I said, you know, they're all tied together because the physical ailments contribute to those other, you know, diseases.
So, Lynn, as a result of this research that you did for the, and this extensive research you did for this article, what, in summary, and we have a little less than a minute, what do you think as a nation we should be doing differently?
Yeah, we've got to make it the highest priority for our plans for national and global recovery. We really need the Build Back Better Act. I mean, it's not going to solve the problem, but it's going to help alleviate some of the distress with programs related to paid leave and child care, as I mentioned. And we need increased funds for mental health and substance abuse. So we really need to understand, too, that all of this begins with the birth of children. If we do not allow people to care for their infants, and that doesn't mean just mothers, that means all caregivers, and make sure that they have proper preschool care, kindergarten, all the way through, we're creating adults who are going to be susceptible to mental illness. Yeah. So it all begins, you know, it begins from day one.
It begins with family leave.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is in Build Back Better, as I recall.
Exactly right.
Lynn Paramore, it's over at the Institute for New Economic Thinking. COVID-fueled mental health crisis will be a costly second pandemic. A brilliant article. Lynn, thanks so much for dropping by today.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, Tom.
Back at you. Thank you, Lynn. Happy holidays.
You too.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Have you had conversations like I had with my friend a couple days ago about, you know, COVID's not real? How did you respond? Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. With higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
John in Niles, Michigan. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. History has a way of repeating itself, doesn't it?
It does. As Mark Twain said, it doesn't always repeat, but it often rhymes. Yes.
Right. The comment I wanted to make was that the Trumpsters keep referring to the founding fathers, and the Constitution and stuff like that. George Washington had a mandate to inoculate all of his soldiers for the smallpox virus.
Yep.
And they seem to overlook that. And it was George Washington and his men were fighting the king's men, and they were also fighting a virus. And if people today would see a war on two fronts, frankly, with the risk to democracy and the virus, I think people would wake up. But I don't get it. There's so many parallels. The Greeks, the ancient Greeks fought Xerxes, and fortunately the Greeks won and preserved democracy for Western Europe and the world.
Yeah.
And today we're fighting kind of a Xerxes in Trump world where, they want to, and these people don't understand that authoritarianism is a dead end. It's a one-way road, and they don't understand the risks to themselves by voting for somebody that's an authoritarian, like Trump. They don't understand the repercussions that pretty soon it could be them that's at risk.
Yeah. And by the way, this vaccine mandate thing, yes, George Washington mandated his troops. In fact, there are historians who argue that that was the thing that allowed him to win the Revolutionary War. Or had he not done that, he probably would have lost the Revolutionary War, is probably a better way of saying it, number one. And number two, in 1905, as I recall, the U.S. Supreme Court, and I think it was Jacobson v. Pennsylvania, the U.S. Supreme Court took up this issue. Does a state have the authority under the Constitution to mandate a vaccine for a deadly illness? And my recollection is this was smallpox also, but I could be wrong. It might have been some other disease. I'm pretty sure, though, it was smallpox. And the Supreme Court unambiguously ruled that, public health trumps everything else. States absolutely have the power to do this. And by the way, let me just, there's been all this hysteria around, is the military going to get vaccinated? And Fox News doing specials on it. Tens of thousands of soldiers are saying no to the vaccine. Well, they just announced the numbers. There are 265,808 enlisted men in the U.S. Air Force. There are 64,873 officers. So in total, well over 350,000 members of the United States Air Force. They mandated everybody get vaccinated, and the total number of refusers who were discharged yesterday, yesterday was the cutoff date, total number of people who were discharged, you won't hear this on Fox News, was 27. 27.
Do you remember that 19 that 1950s movie? It was a classic, Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh yeah,
it's a lot like Invasion of the Body Politics Snatchers, and it's really come to life.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm very much with you, John. Thank you for the call, Lisa in Nashville, Tennessee. Hey, Lisa, what's on your mind today?
Kroger, the grocery chain.
I know it.
So you might have heard they announced that they were going to pull their COVID sick leave for unvaccinated employees, and that they were also going to add like a $50 a month surcharge, insurance surcharge for unvaccinated employees. And here in Tennessee, of course, we have a Republican anti-science supermajority, and they passed, they're calling it, ironically, the COVID Protection Act, because I guess they're protecting COVID or something,
apparently,
not people. That would actually make it illegal. It's now against state law in Tennessee for a company like Kroger to require employees to be vaccinated, to ask about vaccination status, or to do any of the things that Kroger just announced they're going to do, like you know, related to an insurance surcharge. Right. And I'm just curious, you're so knowledgeable about, like, legal stuff. Can that be litigated? I don't know that Kroger would, but they have a lot of stores in Tennessee and a lot of employees. Is that something that would stand up?
I don't know. And with this Supreme Court these days, you know, in all caps, I don't know. Although the Supreme Court did just throw out this religiously based challenge to New York's vaccine mandate. So I think it could be litigated, and I think that Kroger would probably prevail, particularly given that, you know, the first time the Supreme Court took this issue up was 1905, and they affirmatively decided that a state could have a vaccine mandate. But this is a corporation having a vaccine mandate in defiance of a state, you know, which raises a whole bunch of other interesting questions. I think where they're really going to come up with a problem is not going to be Kroger, Lisa. It's going to be when the health insurance companies, and they're already starting to do this, and you're going to see a lot of this coming next year, you know, as the new policies come out and all this kind of stuff. The health insurance companies are going to start saying, you know, if you're not vaccinated, we're not going to cover your COVID costs. You got $1 million hospital bill? Go talk, you know, put up a GoFundMe site. And I think that's where the rubber's going to hit the road. And health insurance companies, regardless of what the Tennessee legislature says, can ask you about, you know, your health situation, your vaccine status, your, you know, all those kinds of things. I don't say this is any kind of legal expert. I'm not an attorney, Lisa, but it seems like common sense to me. I'm so sorry to hear that, you know, your state legislature is very bizarre like that. But Lisa, thank you for the call. Dr. Bay in Hartford, North Carolina. Hey, Dr. Bay, what's on your mind today?
I am a holistic doctor, and we need to address something in America, particularly, but the Western world in general, fear. And I asked over the gentleman when he said he's afraid, and that's the really crux of it, the people who won't get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And these people are cashing in on the fear. This is why they're afraid of people with color, is the fear. And growing up in America for a long time, I've been around people because my father wanted us to be around what most of America really is, and it's not mostly people with color. And they're afraid. The fear has always been something that's been stoked in America from day one. You had to be afraid of those savages. Fear, fear, fear. And now when you need that fear to subside, it can't and it won't. Even though we can laugh at people, but people are very afraid. If you look at most of these police videos, I do lecturing with young people around the country, and most of the things, we rip away all the outside look on things, and being a holistic doctor, I understand that, yes, vitamin C works, but it doesn't work just because you say vitamin C and you throw some in your body. It takes a certain amount to a certain weight, and it has to be done over a period of time. But that's easy. That I can get over the counter, and I can believe that it won't harm me. This vaccine, I'm scared of. I'm scared if I get it, something may happen to me.
Are you speaking for yourself, or are you echoing Anthony?
Yeah, no, I'm saying this is what he's thinking.
Right, okay, thank you.
And that's the mindset.
Yeah.
Right, no, that's the mindset. So they'll say, oh, well, I do holistic stuff, and I Google it. And I have clients constantly tell me that, you know, they know more than I know.
Yeah.
Because they Googled it.
Yeah, they went to Google Medical School.
Exactly. You know, they went to SMU.
What's that?
You know? And that's what they do. And they think that because it's less taxing on the brain and the body, and they live their lives in fear. I'm here in North Carolina. I've never lived in the South. Now I'm here taking care of my mom, and I've been here for 5 years. Everybody walks off the sun.
Yeah, I get it. Dr. Bay, thank you. Thanks for sharing your perspective with us. I think you're right. And you know, Anthony said, I'm afraid of the vaccine. And I just kind of, I thought he was being glib. But probably you're right. That was the core of his entire point.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archive.
That is, you know, assuming he wasn't some talk show host down in Texas who was punking me and I'll show up on YouTube tomorrow. We'll be right back. Nicholas in Ojai, California. Hey, Nicholas, what's up?
You know, some of us choose not to vaccinate because
you're nuts, Nicholas.
We work very hard about staying fit, eating healthy, and our natural immune system.
So, Nicholas, if you're so healthy, would you have unprotected sex with somebody who has syphilis or gonorrhea?
You're missing the point.
No, I'm not missing the point. They're contagious diseases. Would you have unprotected sex with somebody who has syphilis and gonorrhea and not worry about it because you're so healthy?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay, then why would you expose yourself to COVID without having some protection?
Because the protection is my natural immunity.
No, it's not. Tell that to 800,000 dead Americans. Nicholas, this is a stupid conversation, and I'm not going to continue it. Jim in Long Beach, California. Hey, Jim, what's up?
Hard to follow that. Wondering why we're not getting the updates for J&J, because, you know, I took that one, and I got the booster, and I'm hearing things, but I'd like to hear what the doctor had to say.
If you've had the J&J, then you can get, subsequent to that, you can get two Pfizers or two Modernas. They have to be spaced apart.
I might have a reason that I don't want to do that. I want to stick with what I started.
With J&J? They're coming right out and saying that if you had J&J, the booster is not another J&J. It's Pfizer or Moderna.
I already had the J&J booster.
What do you mean? You had two J&Js?
Yes.
Okay.
And so I want to know the reason and not be called stupid, because, in any disease.
I know. Jim, I'm sorry. We're out of time. We're hitting a break that I can't control. Tom Harbin here with you. Brandon in San Diego. Hey, Brandon, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, man? Help me understand, because I'm kind of like, I'm independent and I really could care less as long as it's not like affecting me personally. But so people don't want to get vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. Everybody in my family is vaccinated. Like, why should I care who's in the hospital or not? Like, they're making tons of dough on these people. Like, I have sympathy for those who are elderly and stuff. But if you don't want to get it and you suffer the consequence.
Because A, they're your fellow human beings. B, we don't want this virus circulating and mutating. And C, even if you're fully vaccinated, you can still get it. And there's a small chance, and it's mostly limited to people who are over 70, but there's a small chance that you can still end up in the hospital or dead from it.
Okay. So like with like diabetes and this other stuff, a lot of these people are going to keep doing what their bad habits, whether they're vaccinated or they're eating bad. Like, I don't think these people are ever going to come around.
You can't stop diabetes by wearing a mask. You can't stop diabetes by social distancing. You can't take a vaccine that's going to stop diabetes. This is not, you know, if you're saying that getting COVID is a lifestyle disease, I think you could make a very weak argument for that if you're defining lifestyle as you know, choosing to make stupid decisions. But, no. David in Pasadena. Hey, David, what's on your mind?
Good. How you doing? I just had a question. I was hearing about the boosters.
Yeah.
And I've been given the both shots for my Moderna. But as far as the Moderna and the booster, what boosters work best with which ones? I've been hearing that it's best to take one or the other. Like, if you took the Moderna, take the other. But does it matter when it comes to boosters?
Yeah, it largely, from what I'm reading, and again, I'm not a doctor and I'm not offering medical advice. This is just what I'm reading in the media. And unfortunately, Dr. Feigelding is not here to take questions, although Sean did text him and, ask about boosters. And he was like, yes, get your boosters now. But, you know, bottom line is, if you've had two Modernas and you want a booster, you know, either get another Moderna or get a Pfizer. I know somebody who got two Modernas and got a really strong reaction to the second one and is a little, you know, nervous about that. And so he's getting a Pfizer booster, because the Pfizer second shots seem to have a much lower, and again, this is anecdotal, but seem to have a lower side effect profile. But the bottom line is get boosted, because, the storm is coming. Cesar in Chicago, Illinois. Hey, Cesar, what's up?
I'm also very optimistic about the progressive light coming out to a lot of people. And it's not just one or two things like you explained before. It's several small things that are adding up together. And that's with, you know.
So what are those things for you, Cesar?
For me, it's Republicans
getting COVID, and people keep saying, oh, it's just one vote, it's not gonna matter if that person passes away. But that one vote has immediate family members seeing that person, how his choices, his lifestyle, and they even wake up, their neighbors. So it directly impacts, I think, 7 people that could switch over and start seeing the difference between the
two. So you believe, it's an interesting, we've raised it before on this program, that the pandemic ripping through red counties and basically not doing that in blue counties is working to the advantage of Democrats, to the disadvantage of Republicans?
It is. It is because, like a couple of your guests have spoken before, is that people are just, I thought, wow, I'm a Republican. You know, people used to argue on Facebook or they used to, like, how are they so ignorant? But it's not as if they're so incredibly stupid. It's right. That they're just incredibly misinformed.
I agree.
I don't mean misinformed as in they don't know. They just don't have this information in front of them.
Yeah, this is your brain on Fox News.
Yeah, once they do, though, they start, like, it's like a whole new amount, like a weight off their shoulders a little bit, in a way of speaking, because they start seeing the differences between Republicans and Democrats, and they start waking up to see that they're being lied to. It's not all of them, but it's making a huge impact.
Do you have any evidence of that? Because it also is really engaging these folks. I mean, the anti-maskers and the anti-vaxxers are passionate. I know a couple of them, and oh my God, you can't talk to them. I mean, it's like you say one thing. Well, what about this? And suddenly you've got, here's 37 studies, and here's 22 websites, and here's a video of Dr. So and so, and it's like, really?
Yeah, but have you noticed that? Those same people and even newer people, have you noticed that they're being quiet now?
Not so much. I mean, I'm getting emails every day from these people who go to Google Medical School.
But you know what? In my case, I've been seeing, not that I haven't been talking to the same people, but a lot of them have been quiet. And it doesn't mean that they're switching over to my side or they're completely agreeing with me.
Right.
But being quiet means that they're slowly starting to get the information, or maybe they're slowly starting to research the correct information.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out, Cesar. I would never wish for any political party to get political advantage out of the death of people or sickness of people. But it's a very, very interesting phenomenon. Cesar, thank you very much. John in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania. Hey, John, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, first of all, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Also, I want to say, as a 63-year-old, and my wife is going to be 64, the show you had on Medicare Advantage in that, probably the most informative I've ever seen, because the average person gets so confused when they talk about Plan A, Plan C, Plan B, Plan D. Very confusing.
Yeah.
And so, really, I want to compliment you on
that. Yeah, get ready, John.
Also,
in another year or two, you're gonna be on the bottom end of a waterfall.
Yeah. Also, Tom, I am vaccinated. I did get a booster.
Good on you.
My daughter, who is a physician assistant, my daughter-in-law, who is a medical doctor, they got vaccinated when they were both pregnant. They would not have done that if they did not believe it was effective and it was safe to do.
Amen.
My brother just got out of the hospital after being in for 5 days. He was vaccinated. He has diabetes, stents in his heart. My son-in-law, who works in a COVID unit up in Connecticut, said had my brother not been vaccinated,
he'd be dead.
Probably. Yeah. He probably would have been dead. What my son-in-law told me, what they're finding is that before the vaccinations, the common cause was typically obesity, blood pressure, and diabetes. Now what they're finding is they still have those elements, but the unvaccinated are making a disproportionate number of the people who are in the hospital.
State after state is reporting that more than 90%, in some cases more than 90. I saw one statistic about might have been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I forget the state it was from. It might have been Oregon, because I get the emails from the state that it was like over 98% of all the people who were dying were unvaccinated.
Oh, Tom, it gets better. I referee high school basketball, and Friday, Pennsylvania said that you do not have to require masking in schools. So the game I went to officiate, they said the school said you have to have a mask to go in. So I wore my mask in. Regardless, I'm going to follow the rules.
Sure.
There's a woman sitting up in the upper bleachers, and I'm sorry, God, for what I'm about to say. Her stomach is hanging below her knees, and she's arguing with the game manager, who's saying, ma'am, you need to put your mask on.
Oh, no.
Well, the state Supreme Court said, I do not need to wear a mask. And I'm thinking, you know what? God, forgive me for what I'm about to say. That woman deserves to be on a ventilator.
She is getting her information from right-wing hate radio, Fox News, or Republican politicians. And there is the tragedy, John, that this virus ever got politicized in the first place. But Donald Trump was scared to death. If the economy went in the crapper while he was president, he wouldn't get reelected, which, by the way, is what happened. Yeah. But, you know, he tried to minimize the virus. He told Bob Woodward this back in January. He was going to play it down. Yeah.
Well, the best thing, and I told people, and Tom, I'm a Republican. I said where he screwed up was, number one, he's obnoxious, and he didn't treat this serious enough. My wife had COVID back in July of 2020, and she weighed 120 pounds. By the time she was done, she weighed 110 pounds at 5'8", and it was a rough 10 days, and we didn't know much about COVID at that time.
Right.
And my thought process was, if I can get her through it when I come down with it, she'll be able to take care of me. But my recommendation to anyone is, number one, on the first thing, that podcast you had, excellent. Don't listen to people and get the vaccination.
Yeah, don't
and
go
this
to
is a Republican
Google,
talking.
Yeah, don't go to the Google Medical School. You know, instead, pay attention to your doctor. John,
thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure, John. Anytime. And anytime you want to call and talk about politics, too, give me a shout.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Yeah, the Google Medical School, a wholly owned subsidiary of Trump University. Holy cow.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hillary in Bernie, Texas. Hey, Hillary, what's on your mind today?
Apropos of the fit guy who doesn't want syphilis, but's relying on his own immune system to not contract COVID-19.
Right, which will kill you probably just as fast as syphilis, actually faster than syphilis will.
Well, I know you know this, but I don't know how you can get that guy to understand that SARS-CoV-2 is a novel virus and no one has immunity.
Right.
So the only way to gain immunity is to either have the virus, get the virus, or get vaccinated because it's never existed before. That's what the fear is among the science community.
Well, there are these people, and they're all over Facebook, and you know, and Facebook's algorithm has been promoting them for quite some time. They're getting them off YouTube, but they were all over YouTube for years, or for a year anyway. You know, who are saying, oh, well, just take your zinc and vitamin D every day, and yes, zinc and vitamin D do appear to, you know, help our immune system, but they don't stop COVID. Sorry. Just take your zinc and vitamin D every day and a little vitamin C and maybe some worm paste, and you'll be great.
Yeah. That delicious horse, it's apple flavored, by the way, that
ivermectin.
Horse dewormer.
How do you know, Hillary?
I have a horse. That's how
I see. Okay. Amazing.
So once a month, you give them either that or another kind just to, you rotate the dewormers. Yeah.
And that makes sense because horses love apples. That's funny. Hillary, thank you. Thank you very much.
Take care, spot on.
Yeah, excellent analysis. Lee in Los Angeles. Hey, Lee, thanks for listening to KPFK. What's up?
Hi. I was calling to rebut that comment of that gentleman, which was very uneducated, to blame lifestyle choices on the problem with COVID and, I'm sorry, whatever nonsense, I apologize.
No, I get it. I was there. I remember.
Yeah. And the reason I'm more upset than the average person is because he's not even thinking of his own medical needs and those of his family. As somebody who's personally visited an ER and been in a hospital and has a chronically ill family member, I have seen everything, and he does not understand how the hospital system works, how medical works. He's thinking of administration and money. He has no idea what happens on the ground. I have been in a hospital, so has my father. There are beds just laying everywhere, in the hallway, wherever they can. You know,
with
you're
COVID
left
patients
there.
Mean?
No, this is just general before COVID even hit. That's what I mean, is this guy has no idea what ERs are like, generally speaking, let alone what COVID has done.
Right.
And it is draining everyone's access. For example, if he were to get in a car accident, he has no idea where he'd be taken to hospital. Yeah. The closest hospital could be closed. He would then have to be taken 20 miles away to a less a hospital that's at least available. Let's right. just call it that. And he, you know, again, the effects are much larger than people realize, because people are being turned away from medical care from hospitals. They're being discharged without being fully vetted because the hospitals are more worried about COVID and the influx. It's just baffling that people are so blind to how the medical care works. Yeah. And again, I'm just talking about the ability to access things that you need, like oxygen, people who have difficulty respiratory issues. I mean, they couldn't access oxygen. You know, it's just, unfortunately, people aren't aware if they've never experienced it or have a chronically ill family member to understand what's happening, because people are refusing, not neglecting, straight out refusing to do the one thing that could prevent other people from being ill.
Right. And not to mention, and maybe I'm more, this is more my hobby horse than other people, because two of my children work in healthcare at the local hospital. One serving the addicted homeless population, and the other serving people who've been badly disfigured through burns and things like that, or even cancer surgeries, our hospitals are overwhelmed and people are quitting. I mean, people are just, they're burned out. They're so exhausted by, typically even an ER doc or physician's assistant or, nurse of various kinds, we'll see, maybe one person a day die, or a few people a week die. In some of these hospitals, they're shipping out 10, 15, 20 people a day who are dead. And it's can you just imagine holding the hand of somebody who dies over and over and over, knowing that none of it was necessary, and then walking out to your car and having people scream at you and throw eggs at you and call you a murderer? I mean, that's literally happening right now in hospitals all over America. And it's all because these mask holes are refusing to get vaccinated. Lee, I'm with you. Thank you very much. Boris Johnson in the United Kingdom, the Prime Minister of the UK, has essentially ordered everyone, not ordered is too strong a word, but is asking everyone 18 and older to get a booster shot by the end of this month. He said that the country is facing an Omicron emergency, the highly transmissible Omicron variant, and this is on its way here. It's already showed up in 25 states. It is doubling every 2 to 3 days in England. To quote Boris Johnson, quote, there is a tidal wave of Omicron coming. And he's trying to get ahead of it. More than 80% of people over 12 years old in Britain have received at least two doses of the vaccine. 40% of Brits have received three doses of the vaccine. So they're in good shape, and yet still they're seeing this wave of Omicron. It is apparently the king of breakthrough infections. Being booster immunized doesn't mean that Omicron can't break through. It does mean that it's less likely to kill you. It's less likely to injure you in a way that leaves you with permanent disability, permanent dementia or heart disease or lung disease or, damage to your vision or erectile dysfunction, the really common side effects of a symptomatic COVID infection among unvaccinated people. It does offer significant protection in that regard. But, boy, do not let down your guard. The New York Times, the headline in the front page of today's New York Times, as U.S. nears 800,000 virus deaths. And let me just check the Trump death toll. TrumpDeathToll.org, 797,346 as of this moment. The headline in the New York Times is U.S. nears 800,000 virus deaths. One of every 100 older Americans has died. COVID is now the third leading cause of death for people over 65, behind cancer and heart disease. Third leading cause of death. It's responsible for 13% of all deaths in people over 65. One out of 100 Americans over 65 has died of coronavirus. For people under 65, it's one in 1,400. This is a deadly, deadly disease. And that doesn't count morbidity. That doesn't count the number of people who are getting really, really sick. And then on top of that, you've got the so-called energy crisis. And this is not, I'm not talking about exhaustion caused by COVID. I'm talking about exhaustion caused by the circumstances that COVID has imposed upon us. This from the Study Finds website, studyfinds.org. The headline, energy crisis, 3 in 5 Americans more exhausted now than ever in their lives. 3 in 5 Americans feel more tired now than they've ever been in their lives. 59% say spending so much time at home since early 2020 has permanently sapped them of energy. The most common energy depleting activity seems to be poor sleep scheduling. 1 in 2 people also blamed long work hours or staying inside too much during lockdowns. 46% say that their exhaustion is due to too much screen time. 7 in 10, 69%, claim working from home has messed with their sleep schedule. Nearly half believe that spontaneous conversations with coworkers help keep them upbeat and alert, which is one of the reasons I'm so happy to have Sean and Nate and Joyce back in the studio with me. Although I've been buying these things online, same day, the 15-minute COVID test kits. And we did our tests this morning, and so far so good, knock wood. We're our own little bubble, and frankly, you need to be doing the same thing. So this thing is coming. It's coming fast. It's coming hard, this Omicron. And for those people in red counties, where we have death rates between 3 and 6 times higher than in blue counties, Trump counties versus Biden counties. For those people in red counties who are refusing to get vaccinated because they think, I don't get sick, or I can take vitamin C, or there's always that, horse paste. This is going to be devastating. Absolutely devastating. So get ready and get boosted. And if you haven't got your booster shot, get out there quickly. There was an article in the Oregonian, our paper here in Oregon, that because there's now suddenly so much demand for boosters in this state, some people may not be able to get them until April or May.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.